Following programs, views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock here today on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join with us, and excuse my voice here today. I'm just getting over one of my Christmas presents. You know, they say it's better to give than to receive. I can attest to that. I wish that I had not received a cold for Christmas this year, but just kind of getting over a head cold, so pray my voice will hold up here, and hopefully you'll be able to understand and appreciate what we have to talk about today. But let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Thank you for making it possible that we can minister via the medium of radio, and we just pray it be a blessing, it would be an encouragement to people listening today. And Lord, just pray that we might be able to point people to Christ, that if there's one listening that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that perhaps some of the things that we talk about, you would be able to reach them with their need for the gospel. They might trust Christ as their Savior even before the close of this year. Father, bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, of course, we are coming up quickly on the end of the year, and with that, the new year, everybody looking forward to the new year, and we've got, actually, it's our last Friday program of the year, but we've still got one more program to go yet this year. We've got our late night Live with Pastor Al program Sunday night at 11 until midnight, and so we'll be on for that yet one last time this year, but certainly it is a blessing to have been able to come on Friday afternoons here during this past year. It was back in, I think, the end of May, in May, June, when we first went on the air with our Friday afternoon program, Live with Pastor Al. We've been on the air for over 6 years now, close to 6.5 years now, with our late night program on Sunday nights, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, every Sunday night right here on AM 1220 The Word, from 11 o'clock till midnight. And it's really been a blessing and an encouragement. And I enjoy the opportunity to minister this way and enjoy feedback. Occasionally get to hear from some people, meet some people. I've been blessed by the program, and hope we are a blessing to you in the coming year, and we'll be here as long as God makes it possible, and he's been able to raise up the money that we need to stay on the air without having to resort to constant fundraising things, so I appreciate, praise God for that. But of course, as we're finishing up, wrapping up the year here, I want to continue something that we started looking at last week, talking about new heaven and a new earth. Of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call today, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here with your questions or about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And certainly do pray for things happening in the world. That's one of the reasons we touch on current events a lot on this program, is it certainly affects our ability to minister, and it also gives us opportunities to share what the Bible has to say. But today, picking up last week, of course, last week, if you were tuned in, I guess I should say somewhat tongue-in-cheek, well, maybe a bit more than tongue-in-cheek. We were talking about the Mayan apocalypse last week that wasn't, and, you know, they've already got the next apocalyptic event coming on the horizon. I just heard about it yesterday, and I haven't had time to track down a whole lot of it, but for those of you interested in astronomy, the orbit of our sun around the center of the Milky Way galaxy has a little bit of a wobble in it, and what that means is if you take the plane of the galaxy and you look at our solar system in its orbit around the center of the galaxy, we go up above the plane, and then we dip down below the plane, and then back up and down, you know, up above the plane, and then back below the plane. And if you can think of the plane as the like a plate, and if you were tracing your finger around the edge of the plate, and you brought your finger up above the edge of the plate, and then down below the edge of the plate, and then up above the edge of the plate, and you say, well, what has this got to do with the next apocalypse coming up? Well, since the Mayan apocalypse failed miserably, thankfully, but the Earth's solar system is supposed to cross the plane of the Milky Way galaxy, which is supposed to line us all up with all the stars in the galaxy, or at least the majority of the stars in the galaxy, and wreak havoc, destruction, doom, despair, and agony on us, oh my. And and it's yet the next apocalyptic scenario coming up. And cap it all off the fact that there's going to be probably, if the hype holds up, probably the comet of the century coming up. I was reading about this yesterday. And there's a comet supposed to come in and make an appearance this year, or in the coming year, 2013, that at its peak toward the end of the year is going to actually be brighter than a full moon. And they're saying it's going to be probably the comet of a lifetime for viewing. And you'll be able to see it with the naked eye, especially in October, November, December, in that time frame. So we'll talk more about that as it gets here. But getting back to the apocalyptic predictions, because if you trace the movement up and down along the plane of the galaxy in a circular fashion, it traces out a serpentine pathway. And so because it's related to a serpent, I guess it's being called the Serpentine Apocalypse or something like that, but supposedly it's going to be doom and despair again coming up. And so last week we were talking a little bit about what the Bible says about a new heaven and a new earth, or maybe I should say what the Bible says about how this present world, this present universe, is going to come to an end. And as I've said before, if you're a believer, if you understand what the Bible has to say about the Lord's coming and future events, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you could say with confidence that we've got at least 1,007 years to go before the world comes to an end. And the reason I say 1,007 is because the next prophetic event on God's calendar, major one that'll affect us, is the catching away of the believers. You can read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or in the last half of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And that's the what we commonly call the rapture, the catching away of the believers. That's the first stage of the Lord's second coming. After that, the Antichrist will come on the scene, and he will sign a covenant with Israel, which will bring peace to that region for a seven-year period of time. And that would be the 7 years of the tribulation period. So that's where we get the seven out of that 1,007 years. At the end of the tribulation period, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will return, and that's the second portion of the second coming. And you say, what do you mean, second portion? Either he comes or he doesn't. Well, it's just like when Jesus came the first time. He came in two phases. There was the private or the hidden phase. That's when he came. He was born of the Virgin Mary and laid in a manger. And relatively few people saw that. And we celebrated that just this past week, that Christmas celebration. And then, of course, following that is the public or open manifestation of Christ when he entered into his earthly ministry. And then, of course, we read much about that in the Gospels, and the whole world took note of that. And so the second coming will be similar. There's a private phase, which is somewhat hidden, and that's when he comes in the clouds, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says it will meet him in the air. He does not come all the way to the earth at that time. He comes in the clouds, catches us up to be with him. And then the end of the tribulation period, after the 7-year tribulation period, Jesus Christ returns to the earth, and he sets foot on the Mount of Olives, and the mountain splits in two, and according to Zechariah chapter 14, and there's a fault line, by the way, that geologists have found runs through the Mount of Olives, just the way that it says in the Bible, and Jesus then comes to the earth at the second phase, where every eye sees him. He comes in power and glory, as Revelation chapter 19 says, Jesus on a white horse followed by the armies of heaven, and he will then enter into Jerusalem, ascend up onto the Temple Mount, where he will then establish his rule over the world for 1,000 years. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 20. And so that's where we get the 1,000 years. So that's 1,000 years for the millennial reign of Christ and 7 years for the tribulation period. And since I'm here right now talking on the radio, I know we've got at least 1,007 years to go, notwithstanding the predictions of dire doom, gloom, and general mayhem to come when the solar system passes through the galactic plane later on this year. But what does the Bible say, though, happens in the end? Well, there's a brief statement in Revelation, chapter 20 and 21, and let me go from chapter 20, where it says in verse number, let me jump into verse number 11. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whom the face of the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, the final judgment has taken place. The millennial reign of Christ is over, and the unsaved, the unredeemed, the unrighteous of the ages have been brought before God at the great white throne judgment, and their level of punishment in hell has been set at this time, and they're cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, then, we see in chapter 14, is going to continue, where the smoke of their burning ascends up forever and ever. And so it's not like the Seventh-day Adventists say, where they just get burned up like a piece of tissue paper or unmade or uncreated or something like that. It's eternal torment in a lake of fire. And from Revelation chapter 20, we move into chapter 21, and the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." So between Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, the present universe is done away with. It's burnt up. And we'll see that in 2 Peter chapter 3. And let me turn over there. And while I'm turning there, remind you that you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and apologize for my voice today. As I said, I'm getting over my Christmas present of a head cold, and so on the mend, but my voice could use a little help and a little prayer. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter is writing here, and he says this, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Let me interject something there. That does not mean that one day in heaven is 1,000 years on earth. It doesn't mean that 1,000 years in heaven is like one day on earth. What that's talking about here in Psalm 90, verse 4 echoes this thought, is that time is meaningless in heaven. One day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like one day. That's because heaven exists, where God dwells, exists in a timeless state. And so time is meaningless there. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. And he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says this in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, what I like about this and what makes this understandable is currently God upholds the worlds. God upholds all that we see by the word of his power. And we see in Hebrews chapter 1 and starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and, notice this, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That's all one long sentence, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And in the middle of that sentence, in verse number 3, in the middle of verse number 3, it says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. And what that's telling us, and then that refers back to what we read in Genesis chapter 1, where when God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke the world into existence. He spoke the heavens into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God spoke, and all that there is came into existence. And all that there is upheld by the word of his power. There was some excitement here last year, in this past year, where they thought they may have found the Higgs boson, which they called, nicknamed the God particle. And they think that this may lead to understanding the unified theory, which explains everything and how everything works together and how everything fits together, not only on the macro level, but at the micro level and on down to the quantum level of existence. And the jury's still out a little bit on the so-called God particle, but if the physicists would read Hebrews chapter 1, they would know that God himself upholds all things by the word of his power, and that includes the very substance of which you and I are made of, as well as the very energy that is radiating out from the radio station that allows you to be able to hear the program. All things are upheld by the word of his power. But it also suggests that since God spoke everything into existence and by his word and upholds everything by his word, that God merely has to give the word and all things can come apart. And the elements themselves, as Peter said, could melt with a fervent heat. Now, this is kind of ironic because a lot of times people have suggested that the universe itself will one day cease expanding and then begin to contract until everything comes back together in the big crush, where everything will sink together into a massive black hole, which will then collapse on itself. And it'll be like what the unsaved world believes how the universe was created by the singularity, which contained everything that is in a point with no dimensions, no length, no width, no depth, but yet containing everything that is, and it exploded in the Big Bang and created everything that we see today. Of course, the Bible does not say that. The Bible says God spoke everything into existence. But there's another theory that the universe will not collapse in on itself, but it will keep expanding. And in fact, the rate of its expansion will increase until the big rip occurs. And when that happens, everything will melt with a fervent heat. The elements themselves will be burned up and reduced to a quantum state. And that's what astronomers, that's what physicists are suggesting might happen. Well, let's look at Isaiah chapter 44. And of course, you know, being an ignorant Bible-believing fundamentalist born-again Christian, far be it from me to suggest that there's anything that might have to do with physics in the Bible. But in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." Right there, the Bible says God is stretching the heavens and spreading abroad the earth. And we know from astronomy and physics that the universe itself is stretching. And here Isaiah wrote that God stretches forth the heavens alone, meaning God is doing it. So let's kind of recap here. God created the heavens and the earth by his word. God upholds the heavens and the earth by his word. God stretches out the heavens, and I would add, by his word, because that's where we read it, is in his word. And according to God's word, he's going to eventually cause the heavens and the very elements that the earth and the universe is made of to burn up, to melt with a fervent heat. And that kind of suggests what the astronomers are talking about, the big rip, in the sense that when God's timing is right, after the 7 year of the tribulation period, after the 1,000 years of the millennial reign of Christ, after the great white throne judgment, God is going to, by the word of his power, allow the very heavens and the earth to stretch apart and heat up with an incredible heat, such that the elements themselves melt. And how do you melt an element? You know, you can melt ice, it becomes water, and it's still water, it's still the H2O molecule. You can drive the hydrogen and the oxygen apart through electrolysis, and you can reduce the H2O molecule to hydrogen and oxygen. But what do you do to reduce the hydrogen atom and the oxygen atom to its fundamental parts, which is made up, of course, of electrons, neutrons, and protons? Well, you heat that up, it becomes a plasma. But then the electrons, neutrons, and protons themselves are made up of subatomic particles, quarks, and the like. And these particles themselves can be reduced to a quantum soup. And we speculate a lot about what that would be, but certainly a fervent heat would do that. And why is that going to happen? Because the world in which we live right now is stained indelibly with sin. Because of man's rejection of God in the Garden of Eden, because of the devil's rejection of God in heaven, The heavens and the earth are stained with sin. And in the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, there'll no longer be the stain of sin. And I'm going to be there. Hope you will too if you trust Christ as your Savior. Out of time. Happy New Year.
You just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The following program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, this is Phil Giuliano.